Hey, everybody, this is Terry Miller from Off the Beaten Path podcast, kind of a big deal podcast, and the producer of Tackled and Carpool podcast. I use Anchor for all my podcasts for one simple fact, is it's easy, but it's also free, and they help me distribute it out to all my friends so they can listen on apps such as Spotify and Apple Podcasts, plus many, many more. You can also monetize your podcast with no minimum listenership, and you can create ads yourself so you can have fun and create awesome podcasts from your phone or from your computer, as well as edit them from both. Go to anchor.fm for more information or to create your new stunning podcast. I cannot wait to listen to your new podcast because Anchor has helped us create so much great content. Go to anchor.fm today to get started. Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Bye!
Just to be friends, talking about all this weird stuff.
Hey, 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 it's Off the Beaten Path
with Terry Miller
and Stacey Hubeck. Ba-dum-bum-bum.
So this is our birthday episode.
It's not our birthday, but we're celebrating it late.
Yeah. Stacey was born on February 29th, 1992. And myself, I was born on March 6th, 1991.
Your birthday's tomorrow?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
So I'm a loser. It is my birthday week and ended your birthday week.
Yes. And I had a really great birthday weekend, despite all the crazy shit that's going on in my life. I had a lot of fun. From everyone that took me out on Thursday to just hanging out with me all weekend, it was a lot of fun.
And she is a leap year baby.
I am a leap year baby. So this year I turned 7. So it was my, oh my God, 28th birthday. Lord help me. I was talking to someone and I was like, they were talking about having kids. And I was like, well, I wasn't freaked out about having kids until just now. Now I'm like, do I need to freeze my eggs? Like, what are like, I'm almost 30. And I have to start over again. So it's like, I never thought I'd feel that panic or pressure that women talk about, but yeah. I definitely did today, like sitting downstairs in my basement. I was like, oh my God, my womb is barren.
I think for a man, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? We don't have those pieces and parts that we have to worry about.
I know.
Really, the only thing we have to worry about is like erectile dysfunction.
Well, I was actually talking to a guy and he was like, yeah, I don't want to be old when I have kids or whatever. I was like, well, neither do I, but I guess I'm fucked.
Yeah, because you're already old. I mean,
right, exactly.
I'm turning 29 tomorrow, and
so I've got 2 years to find a relationship, get married, and have a baby if I want to have that before 30. Any takers? No, I'm just kidding.
We are now taking applications.
otbpodcast@gmail.com.
So that's actually funny. So this, of course, since this is our birthday episode, we have put together some fun stuff to talk about. So we're going to kick off.
I don't know if mine's fun, but it's relevant.
We're going to kick off the episode with talking about our weeks, as we always do. So, Stacey, how was your week?
This question has been pissing me the fuck off because my weeks have been shit. So this week was pretty bad. I mean, it wasn't bad. Monday was good because I had off and I got to recoup from the weekend. Tuesday was, what was yesterday? Wednesday? What did I do on Tuesday? Tuesday, I can't remember what I did. Wednesday, I went out to dinner and it was really nice. But Wednesday during the day sucked. There was a escalation with the end of my relationship and it got messy and I did things I wasn't proud of and said things I wasn't proud of. And so I had to, like, self-forgiveness that. which was is always hard, you know, forgiving yourself for stupid things.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, I had a really, really great time yesterday and yesterday night. And then today I'm just going to hang out with my friend and watch a movie. And so I've been just kind of keeping myself busy this Saturday, though. And I think I said this last week, but this Saturday I have to fucking clean my house. It's so messy.
So I know a lot of you have learned about Stacey over the course of this podcast, but you still don't know her as well as I do. And she's a Pisces through and through, as myself. And so it's very, very hard to push the envelope of pissing us off to where we snap and get violent and ignorant. And then once we are violent and ignorant, we step back and we say, oh, my God, I can't believe I just
did
that.
We're our own worst critic.
Yes.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. I was so ignorant.
I apologize to people who don't deserve my apologies. Like, that's what I did yesterday. Like, yeah. I shouldn't. I don't know. I apologize to people who don't deserve my apologies. And I'm empathetic towards people that don't deserve empathy.
Yeah.
So take a lesson from us this week and just be a little kinder to one another, give each other the benefit of the doubt. And if for some reason you are ending a relationship, just remember, like, you're both fucking people and human, and maybe try not to be nasty and vindictive.
Yeah. And you both have feelings, and
yeah,
I think on both parties, when a relationship is ending, especially a relationship as long as yours,
yeah, 7 years,
7 years is a long time. And for two people in that relationship to be splitting apart, there is some hostility. There is some sadness.
Well, the part that sucked was, like, I feel like it's about, what, a month and a half in?
Yes.
So I'm thinking, like, things haven't gotten nasty. Things have been kind of civil. And I guess that I was unprepared for the fact that it might not just stay that way. And everybody was telling me, like, well, it was about time things kind of hit the fan because, and I was like, well, I didn't want that to happen. But
yeah, and I mean, I think that if he didn't come back and he didn't,
or at least gave me notice.
Yeah.
Didn't just show up.
Yeah, well, that was the bad part of it. But I think that the positive part of it is if he didn't come back, he didn't say anything, he just cut you out, there was no more seeing him, there was no more contact.
Like, then I'd be really, like, anxious, not knowing what the hell's going on with my life and whatever.
Yeah, and I think you wouldn't have that closure.
No. I just wish, like I thought things were good, like we were having good conversations about getting each other's things out and things like that, and then I guess, like you just said, emotions ran high, things were said and found out, and
everything sunk
friends
in.
Friends talk, and yeah, so yeah, there was definitely,
and people,
like,
run their mouths, and
exactly. So it was a very emotional and stressful day yesterday, and sad.
Yeah,
but anyway, enough about my shit week. Let's talk about your week.
Oh, so my week was actually pretty good.
Oh, good.
Tuesday I took a CPAP titration.
The fuck is that?
So I my boyfriend Doug had noticed that I stopped breathing when I sleep, and I snore very heavily.
Oh, we know.
Yeah, well, I have sleep apnea.
Okay. And you know what? I mean, I probably could have guessed that just because of the way that you snore.
Yeah. And so I did a at-home sleep test, and 35 times of stopping breathing while a sleep cycle is severe case of sleep apnea. I stopped breathing 45 times.
Jesus Christ. Do you have to go to the hospital and overnight one?
Yeah, that's what I did Tuesday.
Oh, you did that Tuesday. And that's where they found out how many times you stopped breathing?
No, they found out on the
home. Okay.
And then I went up for my CPAP titration, and that's where they put the mask on. They figure out, like, the
air where inside
pressure.
Is the issue happening?
No, not necessarily, because with sleep apnea, it's usually, like, the tongue is going back and it's, like, falling into the back of the throat.
Okay.
Or there's a flap of skin in the back of your throat, and mm-hmm. it could cover the airwave. The snoring is trying to keep that open.
Oh.
So, they put a face mask on me. I look like an alien. And, then they, like, controlled the pressure and stuff. And so now I'm getting a CPAP machine.
Oh, so you're going to have to sleep with one.
Yes.
Oh.
And I have
forever to, or till you can train your.
I don't know.
Like I wonder if it like trains itself. You know what I mean? Like braces kind of do with your teeth. Like
yeah. So I'm not sure, but they said it's a good thing that I caught it when I was young.
Yeah. I wonder if you can like build up the muscle resistance in your tongue or something so it doesn't like fall. Like I wonder what causes that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So, and then I also have to get a bed that goes at a 45 degree angle.
Sleep number.
Yeah. Or Tempur-Pedic.
Yeah. So that's so, nice. Well, when you get rid of that mattress, I want it.
Okay. So, what do you want it for your spare room?
Yes.
Okay. Deal. So, of course, with this being our birthday week, celebrating together, we are going to start with some.
Oh, I remember what I did Tuesday. Sorry to interrupt. I did get to see one of my really good friends. I forgot. So that was exciting, too. Hey, Denim, what's up? Well, I felt bad because I was like, I don't remember what I did on Tuesday. And then I was like, wow, that's really rude because I totally hung out with someone I hadn't seen in a while.
Oh, wow. Well,
so that was fun. But
what did you say the name was?
His name's Denim.
Nice I grew up to with meet
him
you,
in,
Denim.
I grew up with him in Cecil County. Well, I didn't really grow up with him, but he was in my neighborhood.
Shout out, Denim.
He's got the best name. His name's Denim Hash.
Wow.
Oh, I shouldn't have put that out there. Fuck.
That is a cool name, though.
Yeah. Steven! Delete that!
Ours is Paul, remember?
Oh, yeah. Paul?
So, Stacy was born, as we said, on February 29th, 1992. Her days until her next birthday are 361 days on which she will turn 29 years old.
Yes, but it's not my real birthday. How many days until my actual real birthday?
I don't know. It did not do that.
Let me calculate. Okay, if it was on the 29th, so what do I have to do? 365 times 4?
Yes.
1,460 days.
So that is when she gets to turn 8 years old.
Yes. And when I'm 8, I'll be, how old will I be? 32. I'll be 32.
Yeah.
That's old. That's even older than I am now. Oh my God, obviously.
So, days since your last birthday was 5. Your exact age right now is 28 years, 0 months, and 5 days old. Or 28.014 years old, or 336.2 months old, or 1,461.7 weeks old, or 10,232 days old.
Hey, hit that 10,000 mile mark. 10,000 days on this bitch. It sucked.
So you were, your upcoming birthday will be on a Monday.
Oh, nice.
Your last birthday was on a Saturday.
It was awesome. Well, you know why? I actually should have known that because most people's birthdays, like, are the day after. Mine is usually 2 days after. Well, like, when it's my real birthday. So, okay. My birthday was on a Saturday, then I should know it's on a Monday because it should be on a Sunday.
Yes. So, you were born on a Saturday.
I was.
Yes. So, this year
you... And I was a C-section baby, if anyone cares.
I was not. I was natural birth. So, your random birthday proverb. It's not how old you are, but how you are old.
Wow, that's a good one for my birthday.
Yes. If you were a dog, you would be 159.4 years old.
Oh, wow.
If you were a cat, you would be 142 years old. If you were a chicken, you would be 233.4 years old.
I was a chicken.
If you were a rabbit, you would be 311.2 years old.
Thank you. Are we going to go through the whole old McDonald's farm?
Yes, we are. So, your half birthday is on August 29th, 2020. Which is 176 days away.
August 29th. What day is that? Do we know? Let me look. I'll look it up.
Okay.
August 29th. What am I doing on my half birthday? August 29th is a Saturday. Hell yeah. We're partying. Half birthday celebration.
You have taken around 206,277,120 breaths of air.
So how many have you taken if you're not breathing in your sleep?
I don't know. Your heart has beaten around 1 billion times. I'm not saying that whole number. It's too much. And you have farted roughly 143,248 times.
What a fucking fact.
Your birthstone is amethyst.
Yep.
Your birth flower is a primrose.
I didn't know that. What's a primrose look like?
Hold which on. Symbolizes primrose. Modesty, distinction, and virtue.
Oh, they're pretty. I don't know about the modesty part.
And your Chinese animal is a monkey.
Monkey. I did know that.
Which shows strengths it shows is wise, sociable, flexible, and friendly. Your weaknesses are egotistical, cunning, and self-indulgent.
I don't know about those. Self-indulgent 100%. Because I procrastinate like shit to make myself. And I also like, I'm very bad at feeding into my anxiety and doing things to make myself feel better. Like watching Netflix or eating. Binge eating. All right.
You turned 1,000 days old on November 25th, 1994.
Oh, shit. 1,000 days old.
So would you like to know any of your ages on a different planet? Pick one.
All right, I'll pick one. Saturn.
Saturn? 0.95 years old.
0.95? Not even one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to Saturn and have babies. The whole life.
And then the last thing, you've spent approximately 213.2 days in the bathroom.
Oh, nice.
So happy birthday to you.
Yay! Happy birthday to me!
All right, so moving on. Mine, I'll do it quick.
Oh, I can read them.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so Terry was born on March 6th, 1991.
Was I really?
Yes. And that's tomorrow, so... Wait, will the podcast go out tonight or tomorrow?
It'll go out tonight.
Okay, so actually tomorrow.
Yes.
So you'll be turning 29, and unsurprisingly, it's been 365 days since your last birthday. So I'm going to skip your exact age because we all know you're 28 years, 11 months, and 30 days old because tomorrow's your birthday.
Yes.
Okay, but you're also 348 months old or 1,513 weeks old. You've also hit the 10,000 mile mark with 10,592 days old. Mm.
When you put it in retrospect like that.
I know.
I am extremely old.
254,208 hours old. This reminds me of Rent. 525,600 minutes.
525,000 journeys to
play. 15 million.
Daylight and sunset.
And cups of coffee. okay, so 15,252,480 minutes old, or you're really close to a billion seconds old, 915,148,800 seconds old, which is now out of date. no longer accurate at the end of that sentence. Your birthday will be on a Friday. Obviously, your last birthday was on a Wednesday, which makes sense because it's a leap year, so it's 2 days later than it used to be.
Yes.
And your birthday proverb, random birthday proverb, is age is no barrier. It's a limitation you put on your mind by Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Hmm. I don't know who that is, but thanks.
Making our way around the farm. If you were a dog, you'd be 165 years old.
E-I-E-I-O.
If you were a cat, 147. I'm going to skip and do ones that you didn't do, I think.
Okay.
If you were an elephant, you'd be 48. Elephants are young.
Ooh, like, I love elephants.
No. If you were a horse, you'd be 96.
Nay.
And if you were a bee, you'd be 23,514 years old. Your half birthday is September 6th. 2020, which I'm checking right now. So mine was a Saturday. September 6th. Did I just say September 6th? Yes, September 6th.
It's probably going to be a Friday?
Sunday.
Well, we ain't partying.
Which is 184 days away. We can day drink Sunday.
Oh, yeah, we could day drink.
Have a cookout. You've taken around, this is inaccurate because of your sleep apnea, so I call bullshit, but apparently Terry's taken around, well, I'm not sure you can figure this out. Okay, 213,534,720 breaths of air. Now, we just take the number of breaths that you miss a night, which you said was what, 56?
No, 45.
45 times how many days have you been alive? 45 times 10,592, and we subtract that from the total number of breaths, and that's more accurate.
I should be dead.
I'm not doing that math, but if you want to, you guys, you can. $5 to anyone who listens back through the episode and does that math. And I'll Venmo you.
When did we start doing homework on the podcast?
I don't know. but you farted 148,288 times.
Okay.
Your birthday is an aquamarine. Your birthday flower is the daffodil, which I'm really jealous of because I love them.
Aww.
And they symbolize spring, rebirth, domestic happiness, and vanity. Just like me, your horoscope sign is a Pisces, and your Chinese zodiac sign is the sheep and the goat. According to the Chinese zodiac, your strengths are creativity, being dependable, persistent, and calm. Your weaknesses are indecisive, pessimistic, and unrealistic.
Oh, cool.
So.
Pessimistic and unrealistic.
And then I'll do one planet for you. How old would you be if you were on?
Let's do Uranus.
You'd be 0.34 years old.
Oh, wow.
So it looks like the farther you get away from the sun, the younger you are. Which is interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. Because we're older on Venus and Mercury, which are closer to the sun.
Yeah.
And we're younger on Mars, Jupiter, Sun, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
Which isn't a planet.
Anymore. Former planet.
So, I wonder if it's because of the sun. Obviously, if you're closer to the sun, then you're getting more sun. If you're farther from the sun,
you're so stupid, Terry. Because our calendar year is based off the number of times the Earth goes around the sun. So the farther you are away, the longer it takes.
Oh.
Which makes the year longer. Oh, my God. Miss Mudge, you're my 8th grade science teacher. I just want to apologize to you right now for that moment of idiocracy that I just had.
How did I graduate from high school?
How did I graduate from college? Please don't take my degree away. Oh, my God. Okay. So before we continue, it's time for our commercial break. Midnight Alchemy. All natural products that make you feel better. Using nothing but non-GMO, gluten-free, and non-animal tested products. Terry has personally tested the pain-relieving balm, and it is amazeballs. It starts working after about 10 minutes and makes you feel so much better. All Midnight Alchemy products are hand-created by Karen Jones, one awesome human being that cares about making you feel better. For more information and to order, follow Midnight Alchemy on Facebook at facebook.com/MidnightAlchemy423. Midnight Alchemy, the power of healing naturally.
Bye!
All right, Terry, how are you going to wear us out today?
All right, so today I'm going to wear you out by talking about a serial killer that was born on March 6th.
So, spoiler alert, I posted a status the other day that said Richard Ramirez, the famous Night Stalker, was born on leap year, and that's what I was going to do, and that's what I'm doing, so it looks like we're OTBP/My Favorite Murder today.
We're just embracing our inner murderino.
You know, we got to have, like, we're the best people born on our birthday, so now we need to circle around to the worst people born on our birthday.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. So that's what we're doing, basically. Yeah. So you can just see how awesome we really are.
Yes. Yeah, we just want to paint a better picture of ourselves.
Exactly.
So Adolf Seefeld was born on March 6th. And March 6, 1870, apologies. And he died on May 23rd, 1936 at the age of 66.
What was his name again? Can you repeat it?
His name was Adolf C. Felt.
Okay.
His other names were the Sandman, Uncle TikTok, and Uncle Addy.
Uncle TikTok.
He was convicted
of... Wait, can I just pause you? Can you just imagine, like, our great-grandchildren, like, having an uncle that was TikTok famous back, like, now? And being like, Uncle TikTok, what's up? I don't know why I just thought of that, but... There's fucking Uncle TikTok over there.
You know...
He's still trying to get followers.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I typed it, that's literally what I thought. Hey, Paul, make that correction.
Yeah, bleep that out. Hey, Paul.
All right. So other names. I mean, I'm sorry. He was convicted of manslaughter and his criminal penalty was death. So.
So he wasn't a serial killer. He was a murderer. How many people did he murder?
Well, that's what we're going to get to.
Okay.
His victims range from toddlers to 12-year-old boys.
Jesus Christ, he was a child killer? Ugh, those are the worst.
He killed Kurt on April 16th, 1933. Wolfgang on October 8th, 1933. Ernst on November 2nd, 1933.
He didn't have very much of a cool-down period.
Uh-uh. Alfred on November 12th, 1933.
What was the one right before that? November 8th?
November 2nd.
2nd and 12th? Oh, yeah, you can see he escalates real quick. He goes yes. from over a month to less than 10 days in between kills.
Hans Korn on January 16th, 1934. Gunter on October 2nd, 1934.
Long break there. I wonder what happened.
Yeah. And he killed 11-year-old Irwin on October 8th, 1934. 4-year-old Arter on and 5-year-old Edgar on October 16th, 1934.
Oh my God, he did two of them?
Yes, at the same time. So
that's another point of escalation.
I think that so when he starts getting worse and they start getting closer together is when they get older.
Mm-hmm.
So 11 years old was on October 2nd, and then the 4 and 5 year old was on October 8th. So they're like, they're older.
Yeah.
Than the other victims. I mean, now the 4 and 5 is like his younger victims still.
Yeah.
So I think that he's in that period where he's trying to figure out like
what his preference is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What his sick. ML is. So
sick fucking asshole.
And then. He kills 10-year-old Hans on February 16th, 1935, and 10-year-old Heinz on February 23rd, and 11-year-old Gustav on March 22nd, 1935. The investigation authorities assumed that the actual number of casualties was much higher, possibly claiming up to about 100 lives.
Well, I mean, I can totally see that because just the disparity in between, like, that whole time where it was, like, months and months, there's no way he didn't kill someone else. We just didn't find the bodies.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I mean, he's not going from killing people every 10 days to then going 10 months or whatever without killing. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. So that's really fucking sad because that means there's a bunch of dead more kids out there.
Yeah, and they still haven't found them.
Or, like, haven't been, or they've been found but just haven't been, like, attributed to him. Which is, like, another crazy thing about cold cases, too, is, like, there's so many serial killers out there that probably are responsible for, like, unidentified bodies because they just haven't been able to have been matched up.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with that. The lawyer, Wilhelm Hollermann, summed the murder case of 11-year-old Gustav that due to microscopic examinations, the bloodshot pressure indicated strangulation. The medical examiner Victor came in the murder trial against Seafelt with the claim that the murder victims were not poisoned, but instead strangled. So the trial went on for about a year. And He was earlier the executioner had visited him and recognized the expected difficulty of the execution. Seafelt was allegedly eager to be beheaded the next morning by guillotine.
Guillotine is like so stressful to me. I don't know. Although I think it's better than hanging.
Yeah.
Too many things can go wrong with a hanging.
Yes.
At least a guillotine, it's like quick and dirty. Yes. You're done. But also just the anticipation of just sitting there. But I guess that's with anything. Firing squad, hanging.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So in the course of the investigation of Seafelt's infanticides, a commercial traveler was wrongly convicted by the district court, prison court, of lewd sluts, and hanged. So somebody was wrongly accused during the...
And killed. Jesus Christ.
So if you want to read more, there's many books about him. The German serial killer Adolf Seafelt. And
I want to start calling him a German child serial killer. I feel like that's like important too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jesus Christ, that's a lot of children.
Yeah. And it was toddlers to the age of 12. He never went over the age of 12.
What a sick bastard.
Oh, and because in their culture, the age of 13 is an adult.
Yeah.
So that makes sense why he stopped at 12, because they're no longer children when they turn 13.
Yeah, they're too... They aged out of him.
Yeah. That's weird to think about.
Yes.
So, how about we do some questions?
Yeah.
Questions.
Okay, so... if you could shrink any item and carry it around in your pocket, what would it be?
Oh.
That's such a good question.
That is a good question.
And I have no idea. I gotta think fast.
I was gonna say my laptop, but I already have one of those. It's a cell phone.
Yeah. I was gonna say, bro, I wanna be really creepy, my favorite person, whoever you are.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be so fun? Like, instead of having Doug on the phone right now, like, he could just be in your pocket.
That would be so cool.
Right? Like a pocket-sized friend.
I think probably my pet.
Oh, my Fiona. Yes. Oh, 100%. I would want, that's a really good one. I would want a pocket-sized Balto.
And then I can get like a little tiny pocket-sized bed and then put her on my desk and then she can lay there while I work.
I like it.
Little tiny kitty box.
Little tiny Balto. Mm. Oh my God, that would be fun. Or maybe like, what's something really, really gigantic that takes up a lot of space?
Clifford.
Maybe like a pocket-sized washer and dryer. They take up a lot of room.
A pocket-sized washer?
Oh wait, but you couldn't wash anything in there. What the fuck am I even thinking?
You would need to make yourself a Polly Pocket.
Oh my God, just... Paul, delete that. I'm on a roll today. Delete it all. Oh my God. Just ignore me. I hate myself.
Have you ever sent a text to the wrong person? What was it about?
So I 100% did this, but it's like a not safe for work. So I'll tell you off air. But like the real big thing that I did, and I was like, could have really gotten in trouble. But I haven't done it other than then, but I've been like the person that it was supposed to go to. And then like I get that screenshot from my friend that's like, oh shit, I definitely meant to send this to you and I sent this to the wrong person. I can't remember what it was. I'm pretty sure it was like her one friend that she was kind of bitching to me about. And like, thankfully she didn't say her name, but it was like one of those things where her friend was like, was that supposed to go to me? And she had to like come up with something on the fly.
Oh.
Like some excuse.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, I'll tell you mine off air. Sorry, y'all.
So, when I was with my ex-wife, I was texting my friend and I was complaining about my ex-wife. And I accidentally sent her this very long complain text.
Oh, Lord.
All about her.
Oh, God.
It did not have her name in it.
But still.
But.
I'm sure she was like, sounds like me.
and it kept saying she and like
yeah.
everything. And she knew it was about her.
Yeah.
Caused this big stink. But like it was one of those things that instant I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I wish I had return.
Yeah.
I just wish I had return.
Speaking of that, if you guys use Gmail for work, Gmail has a really nifty undo feature now. So if you accidentally send an email that's not complete or it's like to the wrong person, you can undo it. And you have got, I think it's like 10 seconds or something. But it pops up like where it would say message sent. It's like message sent, undo, question mark. And I've had to do that a couple of times.
Oh, that.
Where I've like sent a blank email or like halfway and I went to go hit tab and I accidentally hit enter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's life cool. hack for all you fuck ups out there like me.
I know you can do like a return to sender.
Yeah. No, this is literally like it's an undo and it like puts a block, like the server sends out a block and like prevents your message from being sent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they don't even get it.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you can open it back up as a draft and like finish it or fix it. I know. I sincerely wish text messages had a feature like that.
Yes.
My fucking God. Like how Facebook lets you remove things for everyone if the other person yeah. hasn't seen it yet. Like, it'd be so nice if the person hasn't read your text yet if you could delete it.
Yes.
Because sometimes like, you just say things that you fucking wish you didn't say.
And like iMessage, if you're sending an iMessage, like that's over like the internet. That's
yeah,
like
and you can like
thing.
See them chat. Why can't you delete it? Like, it makes yeah. sense.
So, Stacey, how are you going to weird me out this week?
I'm going to, as I mentioned, talk to you about Richard Ramirez.
Who dat?
Richard Ramirez is the famous serial killer, the Night Stalker, who was born on February 29th. So let's get into it. This is just a total fucking bum out fest.
They
so.
Had him portrayed in one of the seasons of American Horror Story.
I think they did, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so on June 28th, I lied to you. Starting in the middle of my thing. Richard Ramirez, also known as Ricardo Leyva Munoz Ramirez. That was terrible. sorry, anyone who speaks Spanish out there. Was a serial rapist and killer who operated in L.A. and San Francisco from 1984 until August 1985. Dubbed the Night Stalker by the news media, Richard Ramirez killed at least 14 people and tortured dozens more before his capture in 1985. So his MO was basically like breaking into people's homes and killing them. So let's give a little background history. So Ricardo Leyva, also known as Richard Ramirez, was born in El Paso, Texas on This says February 28th, 1960. This is wrong. Please hold. When was Richard Ramirez born? Okay, so this article had it wrong. He was born on leap year. I was like, this just ruins my whole thing. No, he was born on February 29th, 1960.
Oh my gosh. How dare they fuck that up?
So if he was alive today, he would have just turned 60. He would have just turned 60, which 60 divided by 4 is 15. So he would have been 15 years old if he was still alive today.
No wonder his brain was so messed up.
Yeah.
He was still young.
I know. So he was born in El Paso, Texas on February 29th, 1960 to Julian and Mercedes Ramirez. He was the youngest child of six, epileptic, and described by his father as being a, quote, good boy until he became heavily involved with drugs. Prior to the return of his cousin from Vietnam, Ramirez was close with his dad, but then this is kind of like where shit hit the fan. So at the age of 12, his cousin Mike, a Vietnam veteran and ex-Beret, came home from Vietnam. And Mike had some issues going on. Likely, they stemmed from before he went away to war. But this article kind of, well, the three articles that I chose this from, I did it from, like, thought.co, biography.com and one more that I don't have pulled up anymore. they basically said that a lot of what Mike showed him about Vietnam contributed to his mindset. So he shared gruesome pictures of rape and human torture with Ramirez, who became fascinated with pictorial brutality, so taking pictures of brutal things. The two of them spent a lot of time together. So mind you, he's 12, and his cousin just returned back from Vietnam. So that means his cousin had to have been probably, when were they drafting? 18?
Well, yeah, he had to have at least been.
When was the draft
in
Vietnam? Or how old?
Late teens, early 20s.
I don't know if it was 18. It might be 16. Okay, yeah, so 18. So he's 12 and he's hanging out with someone much older than him who's just been to war. So on one occasion, No, that's fine. I lost my place anyway.
In all honesty, it's not a very uncommon thing, though, where cousins are, like, hanging out and one's young and one's old. So
no, but I just mean, like, when you're probably a latchkey kid, so we're in the 60s. So at this point, wait, it's 72 because he's 12. So 72, he's probably allowed to run fucking wild, do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
And he's smoking pot and just hearing and seeing extremely, extremely brutal images and hearing about someone that he knows performing extremely brutal things.
Yes.
So they, I don't know how much of this is true, but they do allude to the fact that, like, Mike may have participated in some rape and torture of, like, Vietnamese women and describe that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. So on one of the times they're smoking pot, talking about war, this is, like, their thing. One day, Mike, the cousin's wife, began to complain about her husband being lazy, and Mike's reaction was to kill her by shooting her in the face in front of Richard Ramirez. Ooh. Mike was sentenced to 7 years for the murder. Richard obviously wasn't culpable because I at least from what I was reading, because he was underage and but he just didn't stop it. You know what I mean? But that was like his first exposure to murder, is his cousin shot his wife and killed her in the face in front of him.
Now, I don't think that he would be like, you mean like he would like had a part in it? Like
he wasn't. Well, I don't know because he's 12, you know, and he's impressionable. So how much can you really say? What was he supposed to have done in that situation? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that maybe that was... I mean, I think they hit the nail on the head. Maybe that was the start of it. Or maybe that was what jogged something in his mind. But, like, he's also 12 years old.
Right.
So it's like, that age is like...
Right, so he necessarily didn't have to become a serial killer. But lack of parenting, lack of guidance at all, a heavy, heavy influence of drugs, which they're going to talk about, heavy influence in the satanic culture, like, had he maybe just got some therapy, it would have turned out differently.
Yeah,
but that wasn't the case. So after that happened, Richard Ramirez grew up. He became really, really heavy into drugs. He became involved in satanic worshiping, and he, like, did not take good care of his appearance or his hygiene or anything. So he was just kind of like a drugged out hippie, not to be derogatory towards hippies, but he was like a drugged out kid in the late 70s, early 80s, who was epileptic and practiced Satanism. So... Or satanic worshiping. That's not the same as Satanism, I don't think. So let me make that distinction. Okay, so he had been arrested multiple times on drug and theft charges, and he decided to move to Southern California, which is where his, like, reign of terror begins. So first he, like most serial killers, he started with theft and burglarizing homes. He became extremely good at it. And then he started to linger in the homes of his victims. So his escalation started with theft. Then it was like a bit of slight voyeurism, because even though he's not watching them, he's still spending time in their house.
Yeah.
And then on June 28th, 1984, the burglaries turned into murder. So Ramirez entered through an open window of Glassell Park resident Jenny Vincow, age 79. According to Philip Carlo's book, The Night Stalker, he became angry after not finding anything of value to steal and began stabbing the sleeping woman, eventually slitting her throat. And again, she was 79. So he stabbed a 79-year-old woman in her sleep, slit her throat, and then reports that the act of killing aroused him sexually. So he had sex with the corpse before he left. So
he didn't waste no fucking time.
Yeah. So he's a bit of a necrophiliac. So after his first murder, he remains quiet for around 8 months, but he wasn't able to quench that thirst anymore. So the first murder of, I mean, I'm going to try to remember to say the victim's names as much as I say his name. So the murder of Jeannie Vinco on June 28th, 1984, was the first one. 8 months later, on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 1985, Ramirez jumped 22-year-old Angela Barrio outside her condo. He shot her, kicked her out of the way, and headed inside where her roommate, Dale Okazaki, age 34, was shot and killed. Angela Barrio, she survived, but it was just luck. The bullet ricocheted off the keys that she held in her hand as she lifted to protect herself from the shot. So that's absolutely insane. Literally, her keys saved her life.
Yeah.
So within an hour of killing Okazaki, so first murder, 8 months, and now we have two murders within the same hour. He thought he had murdered three people, but it was two. Ramirez struck again in Monterey Park. He jumped 30-year-old Sailian Yu, I'm going to spell it, T-S-A-I-L-I-A-N-Y-U. He pulled her out of the car onto the road. Okay, so not all of his victims were in houses. I didn't know that. He shot several bullets into her and fled. She was found still alive, but she died before the ambulance arrived. He then murdered an 8-year-old girl from Eagle Rock 3 days after the double murder spree.
Ooh.
So within 5 days, he is now, after his first murder, within 5 days, he's attempted to kill four people, successfully killed three. On March 27th, Richard Ramirez shot Vincent Zazara, age 64, and his wife Maxine, age 44. Mrs. Zazara's body was mutilated with several stab wounds. He carved a T on her left breast and gouged her eyes out. The mutilations were post-mortem, and how they realized this was connected to a serial killer is that Ramirez left footprints in the flower bed, which were photographed and cast, and then they were matched to those at previous attacks, which made the police realize that there was a serial killer on the loose.
Oh, okay.
So 2 months after killing the Zazara couple, he killed Harold Wu, age 66, and Jean Wu, age 63. Harold was shot in the head. Jean was punched, bound, and raped. For unknown reasons, Ramirez let her live. So this is like now he's in his full manic rage mode. This is when he was dubbed the Night Stalker by the media. And those who survived the attacks provided the police with the description that he was Hispanic. He had long, dark hair, and he was dirty and foul smelling. So he didn't take care of himself.
Oh, wow.
Continuing on May 29th, 1985, Ramirez attacked Malvielle Keller, 83, and her invalid sister, Blanche Wolf. So she was 80. Malvielle was 83, and her invalid sister, was 80. And he beat them to death, each with a hammer. I feel
like his thing is, or his MO is
changing.
Older.
Yeah. Well, he's, yeah. He, I don't know. His victimology ranges all over.
Yeah.
You'll see in a minute. So, Ramirez attempted to rape Keller but failed. Using lipstick, he drew a pentagram on Keller's thigh and in the wall of the bathroom. Blanche, the 80-year-old invalid, survived the attack. The very next day, Ruth Wilson, 41, was bound, raped, and sodomized while her 12-year-old son was locked in a closet. Ramirez slashed Wilson once, bound her and her son together, and left. So those were the ones that were described, but we're not done. So he continued raping and killing throughout all of 1985, and his victims included, on June 27th, 1985, Ramirez raped 6-year-old girl in Acadia. On June 28th, 1985, Patty Higgins was murdered, age 32, was beaten, and her throat slit. July 2nd, 1985, so now we're only a few days apart. This is like where he starts to escalate, because all of these murders are now days apart. So we have June 27th, June 28th, July 2nd, July 5th, July 7th, July 20th, all the way up to August 8th. So this is like his massive escalation period. So July 2nd, 1985, Mary Cannon, age 75, was beaten and throat slit. Deirdre Palmer, on July 5th, 1985, age 16. She survived being beaten with a tire iron. July 7th, 1985, Joyce Lucille Nelson, 61, was bludgeoned to death. July 7th, 1985, Linda Fortuna, 63, was attacked and attempted raped, but he failed, which means he couldn't get it up. July 20th, 1985, Max and Kneeling, 16, and his wife Leela. So it's interesting that he murders couples as well. They were both 66. They were shot and their corpses were mutilated. July 20th, 1985. I know this is a long list, but I want to give the victims their due. Chitat Asawahem, 31, was shot, and his wife Sakima, 29, was beaten and then forced to perform oral sex. Ramirez then collected 30 grand in valuables. But before he left, he sodomized the couple's 8-year-old son.
Oh.
So you're the youngest right. girl that he raped was the 6-year-old girl in Acadia, and then the 8-year-old son.
You're right. His victimology is all over the place.
70s, 80s, 30s, 40s. August 6, 1985, Ramirez shot both Christopher Peterson, 38, and his wife Virginia, 27, in the head. Both somehow survived.
Oh.
And on August 8th, 1985, Ramirez shot Ahmed Zia, 35, raped and sodomized his wife, Suki, S-U-U-K-Y-I, 28, and forced her to perform oral sex on him, too. Finally, on August 14th, 1985, Ramirez traveled 50 miles south of Los Angeles and broke into the home of Bill Carnes, 29, and his fiancée, Inez Erickson, 27. Carnes was shot in the head. Erickson was raped. He demanded that Erickson swear her love for Satan and afterwards forced her to perform oral sex. He then tied her up and left. Erickson struggled to the window and saw the car Ramirez was driving. A teenager wrote down the license plate number of the same car after noticing it cruising suspiciously in the neighborhood. And that information from Inez Erickson, the survivor, and the teenager who wrote down the license plate, was they were able to locate the abandoned car, get fingerprints from the car. A computer match was made of the prints. And on August 30th, 1985, the arrest warrant for Richard Ramirez was issued and his picture was released to the public.
So he'd finally gotten caught.
So I'm going to just finish up very quickly with his trial and sentencing.
Of course.
So basically, he was in jail for his trial, and his trial was constantly delayed. There was a lot of bickering by both the prosecutors and the defense attorney because of the geographical spread of the crime. The geographical spread of the crimes complicated the scope of the trial with jurisdictional issues. So everyone was trying to, get a piece in and trying to fight them. So eventually what happened, and you see this a lot, is some of the charges were dropped against Ramirez in order to expedite the process. So, like, some counties might not have been able to successfully charge him because then it would have taken longer for it to fucking go to trial.
And so, I mean, when it's going like this with the crimes, like, there's, yeah. like,
but all can these you imagine for some of the victims to just say, like, for clerical sake,
oh,
like,
yeah.
we have to drop the charges against him
yeah.
that that he like attacked you. Like, that's just, it's fucked up.
Yeah, that is fucked up.
Okay, so the jury selection process moved forward. Ramirez attracted a weird cult-like following of supporters, a lot of whom were Satan worshippers. And another delay occurred because one of his selected jurors was murdered on August 14th, 1989, but there was no evidence that suggested that Ramirez was orchestrated that death. But that was like a big thing, is that finally they got jurors picked and then one of them died, and they basically thought that he was responsible for killing her in order to delay his trial.
Yeah.
So on September 20th, 1989, so he was caught in August 1985, so this is a little over 4 years later, the jury finally returned a unanimously guilty verdict on 43 charges, including 13 counts of murder, 5 counts of attempted murder, 11 sexual assault charges, and 14 burglary charges. 2 weeks later, the same jury recommended the death sentence on 19 counts. Ramirez, in response to him getting the death sentence, said, "Hey, big deal. Death always comes with the territory. I'll see you in Disneyland."
Oh.
He was finally sentenced to death in the gas chamber on November 7th, 1989, and was sent to San Quentin to spend the remainder of his days. While incarcerated, he married one of his supporters. He did appeal, but he lost his appeal. And as he waited in jail on death row in San Quentin, more and more crimes became linked to him. Now, unfortunately, the great country of the United States did not get to execute Ramirez. Now, I don't know if I should say unfortunately, because I go back and forth on the death penalty.
Yeah.
But anyway, he didn't die in the gas chamber. After spending 24 years on death row, he died on June 7th, 2013, so not that long ago, at the age of 53 from complications related to lymphoma, so cancer.
Wow, 2003.
So his character was featured in the 2015 episode of American Horror Story, and the following year, a dramatized version of his life with the focus of A&E's The Night Stalker, starring Lou Diamond Phillips, which I haven't seen, but now I kind of want to.
Yeah.
And that is the story of Richard Ramirez, The Night Stalker.
All right, so to finish it up real quick with our birthday episode, the number one song on Stacey's birth date was Mr. Big to Be With You.
Mr. Big to Be With You, do I know that one?
The number one song in the USA on my birth date was Mariah Carey, Somebody. Famous birthdays for mine is Tyler, the Creator. And for Stacey is Jesse Usher, which is a TV actor.
Yep.
The quote of the week is, "Birthdays come around every year, but friends like you only come once in a lifetime."
I thought you were going to do Richard Ramirez's quote. Beyond Disneyland.
So, until next time, stay true and stay weird.
Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to Off the Beaten Path Podcast. You can follow Stacey Hubeck on Snapchat at Stacey H. That is at StaceyH. Follow Terry Miller on Instagram and Twitter at TerryMiller91. That is at TerryMiller91. Also, check us out on TikTok. Follow Paul Douglas at at Douglas Parks 7. That is at Douglas Parks 7. Follow me on TikTok at Terry Clay Miller Jr. Thank you for listening, and until next time, stay true and stay weird. Bye!
At American University, we don't just hope for change, we create it. We don't just dream of a better world, we make it a reality. With a graduate degree from AU, you'll access expert faculty and connections throughout DC to develop skills and experience to turn your passion into purpose. And that purpose can make all the difference in your career. Discover the difference a degree makes at american.edu/grad school.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.